Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of hope and the podcast of solutions, and I'm your host, Rory Hearn, and I'm joined today by a panel to discuss the whole issue of cost rental housing, affordable, secure rental homes. How can it be achieved? I'm joined by Eilish Comerford from the St. Michael's Estate Forum, John O'Connor from the Housing Agency, Niamh Randall from Respond Housing Association, and Hugh Brennan from the O'Coolan Alliance. And just before we start, again, we'd like to encourage listeners, please become a patron, sign up, support us to keep producing these podcasts. We're bringing the frontline experts, change makers, thinkers, and people promoting a republic of equality. So if you can support us, go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And in terms of cost rental housing, it's been proposed for a number of years now, almost 5 years or a lot more, since the National Economic and Social Council promoted the idea of cost rental housing. And of course, it's something that has a much longer history. And today we want to go into it in a bit of depth to give listeners an understanding of what actually is cost rental housing, what are the benefits to it, because I do believe it is a core part of the solutions to our housing and homelessness crisis. And really, at its heart, it's about providing, as I said, affordable rental homes that are secure, that people can rent for their lives, and that are available to a much broader range of incomes than current social housing kind of limitations on income eligibility. And so this really is about extending out public housing to what would be called generation rent, to middle income earners. But there are major questions around how can this model be rolled out? How can the housing be affordable? How can we actually build what we should be building, which is probably in the region of 5,000 units per year of cost rental homes? So I'm going to go to you first, Niamh Randall, from the Respond Housing Agency. Maybe you could outline briefly, because I know you're working on it, currently delivering these homes. You know, what do you see as the benefits, and maybe explain to people what are the benefits of this kind of new form of what has been called public housing?
Well, I think, first of all, just to say, I think it's very timely to have this conversation, given commitments in Budget 2021. And I suppose we're kind of very excited looking at that in terms of the potential to actually deliver affordable cost rental homes. So I think it is really timely. And I think one of the key things really is when you look at delivering affordable rental homes internationally, there's generally two approaches are taken. And one is delivery of cost rental homes, which is basically where costs are based on the cost of actually managing, maintaining and delivering these homes, and then affordable rental homes. So there's kind of two different variations. And I think we're somewhere in the middle with a bit of a hybrid where we're looking at affordable cost rental models here in Ireland. So I think, as I say, it's a very positive time. Now, we in Respond, and Respond are also a service provider as well as being an approved housing body. We provide homeless services, and we also provide a range of childcare services and other services in the community. So we're very much interested in not only providing homes for people, but also supporting people to live in communities as well. And that being a key focus of our work. So I think it's really important to kind of look at that broader aspect. But we're involved in one of the Pathfinder projects, which they're known as, which is Enniskerry Road.
Yeah.
Which is currently under construction. And we're working with a number of partners there. It's been a very innovative partnership. We're working with the TUA Housing Association, the Housing Agency, the Housing Finance Agency, Dunleary Rathdown County Council, and also the Department of Housing to deliver 155 homes on the site there. And of those homes, 105 will be social homes and 50 will be cost rental homes. So that's due to deliver next year. So I suppose that's a really exciting piece to be involved in. But I think the key thing for us, and we've been advocating very kind of long and hard on this, is to have a sustainable and replicable model. So a model that can be delivered in different parts of the country. I think I tripped over that word, replicable. It's always one of those that's hard to say. But really, we want to ensure that there's a model that can be not just delivered in a specific site, in a specific location, but also that actually can be delivered where it's needed in different parts of the country. So we've been very, you know, actively, you know, campaigning in relation to this and to ensure that there is something like this. So as I said, Budget 2021 is really exciting, where we actually have this cost rental equity loan. There's a commitment of 35 million, where approved housing bodies can borrow up to 30%. 50% of the cost in relation to delivering affordable homes, affordable rental homes, which will be below market rents in terms of their delivery. So this is really significant. This is the first time ever an Irish government has introduced a funding scheme specifically for affordable cost rental. So it really has the potential to be a game changer and to actually transform how we deliver housing in Ireland, that we actually will have this affordable rental model. So it really was a very, very key piece in terms of Budget 2021.
And Niamh, in terms of that, like you're saying, you're going to be delivering 50 units of the cost rental homes as part of that project by next year. Has Respond any other cost rental units under development, or do you see them being produced in the next year or two?
Well, no, because there hasn't been the scheme. So that's why this commitment in Budget 2021 was so significant, because it facilitates us to look at providing in a broader locations. So like these Pathfinder projects are very much like a pilot scheme, you know. So this would actually allow us to look at further locations. So, you know, we're really excited. We're engaging very proactively around this new CRALF. I think, John, you might have the better pronunciation in terms of that.
Not going to go down the road of housing acronyms, housing funding acronyms, and finding calves and cows and all sorts of things.
But the key thing, Jan, that we've been chatting to, you know, our partners across the state in relation to, is actually having this scheme that would allow us to then go and negotiate and chat to various different parties in relation to delivering cost rental homes. So there wasn't a scheme in place before this.
And what do you see are the challenges or barriers in terms of really kind of rolling out? Because obviously the numbers you're saying there, and even the allocation in the budget, it's not going to provide us thousands of cost rental units per year. What do you see, what needs to be done to kind of achieve that?
So I think very clearly you've identified one of the key challenges, which is scale and how to deliver at scale, and also the proof of concept. We're delivering something that hasn't been delivered in the state before. So therefore, ensuring that people have the confidence in relation to delivery around all of that. And when I talk about that broader confidence, it means confidence also for approved housing bodies like ourselves in relation to managing the risk, because this is a different type of housing that we'll be delivering. And therefore, the parameters are different than providing social housing. So the risk for our boards and negotiation with different arms of the state are different in relation to this. So that's a key part in relation to this. But also it's just in terms of how do we, like, it's the same piece in terms of social housing. How do we get the scale that we need to meet the housing need that's out there, the housing demand that we have? And certainly what we've seen more than any other time in the midst of this COVID pandemic, I don't think we can go without talking about it, is the importance of having a safe, secure place to call home. It was really, really evident. You know, you've got a call to action to encourage people to stay home, and yet there's many people in the state who actually don't have that available to them. So I think the key things really in terms of the barriers are looking to ensure that we actually can start deliver at scale, that we get this proof of concept to ensure that there are mechanisms in place that we can actually deliver cost rental homes, and that we do start kind of building and delivering. But I'd feel very optimistic. We do have this commitment in the budget for the very first time, and I think that cannot be underestimated how important that development is.
Thanks, Niamh. John O'Connor from the Housing Agency, thanks for joining us today. In terms of your kind of assessment of where are we at now at cost rental, are we at the point of really rolling out this model, or you know, what's planned at the moment in terms of concrete terms?
First, Rory, and thank you much for the invitation to talk here today. First, talking about cost rental, and just to be clear on it, the overall aim is to have rental homes that are at an affordable price. So the whole focus is on affordability, and to have someone renting a home that they can consider their long-term home, very close to home ownership. In terms of the countries that have been successful in this, a number of Central European countries, if we could bring it back to World War II, maybe another disaster, maybe a larger scale, obviously, than COVID, but a disaster that happened. And following World War II, a lot of the countries decided that they have an approach of housing for all. So in terms of, they needed to rebuild their housing stock, but they needed to ensure that everybody was included. And a major part of what has been done in the likes of Austria, Denmark, Netherlands, other countries, was to think long term and think about what people needed to have that security, have housing that's sustainable and that people can afford long term. So the various countries, they provided funding to local authorities, to housing associations, in order to provide housing that's rented at reasonable rents and say kept very, very low. I think we're probably at this point now. We have COVID-19, which is another disaster. I describe it, you know, and others describe it kind of as a black swan event. And just for your listeners, kind of a black swan event is an extremely rare event which causes severe damage. But the positive side of it, it forces us to reevaluate what we are doing, and it forces us to change. So we can use how we're approaching things after COVID-19 to really address housing affordability. And a big element is cost rental housing, you know, and doing that on scale. We do need to think long term. This is not a short term fix. I mean, that's the first thing that we need to appreciate, that we need to be thinking, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. That's how we need to approach it. How it's delivered in other countries is one that they utilize land that's at low cost, or state lands or local authority lands. That's often a factor. But they can be private lands, but land that isn't too expensive. And then in terms of financing and funding those developments, one needs to think of spreading that funding over many years. So what you do is you get long-term funding. And in the case of what Niamh was talking about both in the development on Enniskerry Road, where the first 50 cost rental homes are being provided. Respond to have secured 40-year finance from the Housing Finance Agency, and the first 30 years of that is at a very low interest rate, 1.75%. And in the Enniskerry Road it's using funding towards the infrastructure, and it's using state land. Again, as Niamh was saying, Respond and other housing associations, following the announcement in the budget, are going to provide more cost rental homes. And the aim is in 2021 is to provide 400. And that's only a start, you know, of delivery of cost rental homes. And it's funded by way of that long-term funding coupled with a secondary loan from the state. That then can be paid off after the first loan is paid off, which will take 40 years, and then the remainder after that. And that's how Austria, we talk about the Vienna model, Austria, or in Denmark, effectively they pay the debt off over 50, 60 years, and they keep the rents down. And it's much more home ownership type model, you know,
yeah,
than a rental model in some ways. Actually, just as an aside, in Vienna, anybody who has got a cost rental home has a right to buy. Any household can buy the home they're living in. They choose not to, because I said actually the rent is at a low level, and they're quite happy to continue on in that way. But effectively, that they have a stake in the homes.
And John, do you think we could be doing more, building more units? Is there a way to do it, like to accelerate the delivery and ensure that, you know, that the finance is there and affordability is delivered as well? Because I know you're saying like 400 units for next year, but we know the scale of the crisis that's there, that really we should be getting very quickly to thousands of these units per year of cost rental affordable homes, shouldn't we?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, we need to be getting up to 3,000, 5,000, you know, cost rental homes per year. And we need to be getting up to that scale as quickly as possible. What it needs, one is commitment. you know, from government and from the state to say, yes, this is something that is very, very important. We need local authorities, we need approved housing bodies, the housing associations, and other state organizations such as the Land Development Agency, the Housing Agency, the Housing Agency Work For, which is focused on affordability, to be really want to deliver cost rental homes and take it on. So I'd ask in particular the local authorities and the housing associations to actually get committed to delivery in this area. And I think, as been shown in many other countries, it can work. And once they get, you know, people have a sense of ownership and they're part of a community, they are very stable, very sustainable, work much better than, you know, market rental housing or that. So I think it needs a commitment and we need to do it on scale.
And do you think that there's an issue around, like, if we really go after this, that it is a disruptor of the current housing system in a way, that it is a competitor to the private market and to private, because the aim ultimately of cost rental is that you do actually really bring affordability, and as NESC refers it to, you know, bringing a permanent affordability into the housing system, that there are interests who are against this and who don't want this happening.
It does disrupt the market. And obviously, if we provide cost rental housing on scale, it will moderate kind of market rents and bring them down. Market rents are too high. I think we all agree that the rental levels, you know, are not affordable for everyone. You know, they have got too high. Now, there is a balance in terms of what, you know, Denmark and Austria is they provide, you know, good quality, use the word modest cost rental homes, you know, that people rent. The private market then maybe aims at someone who wants a bigger apartment or a bigger house to rent. And they act, you know, they work well together, but it's about getting, you know, a balance. But we definitely need to bring rental costs down and our basic housing costs. We want a situation where any household or any person is paying a reasonable amount of money towards their housing costs, but not excessive. And particularly as over time, we want that to be, you know, lower and lower, you know, that people talk about somebody paying a third of their income, you know, on their housing costs. It needs to be lower than that in the longer term. It needs to be a fifth or, you know, or less of their cost.
Yeah. Which is obviously so many people are paying so much more than that at the moment. Thanks, John. And we'll come back to you in terms of the issues that are arising, because I think that there is still a lot to try and work out on this. The Ailish Comfort from St. Michael's Estate Regeneration Forum, the St. Michael's Estate and the in Inchicore is kind of one of the pilot projects. I think if I'm correct, it's actually Dublin City Council's pilot project on the cost rental, rolling out the cost rental model. And obviously St. Michael's Estate and, you know, we've worked together as a community workers before over many years trying to get regeneration and public housing built on public land. In terms of where the project is at now, maybe you could outline very briefly where it's at and kind of what do you see as the kind of things that need to be done to make it happen?
Well, yeah, sorry. Just to say, I'm a community worker and I work for the Family Resource Centre, which is a community development project in St. Michael's Estate. And I've been involved there for a good number of years. So I have that hat on, but I also can't resist wearing my Housing Action Now. Housing Action Now is another activist group that I'm involved with.
Absolutely,
we've been continuously trying to push for low cost housing and particularly cost rental. And we produced and we started a campaign as well on the same issue of cost rental 4 years ago. So just with the St. Michael's hat on, we've been involved in regeneration for the last 20 years. They decided to regenerate the old St. Michael's estate in 1998. I was a student at the time. So we've had two phases that have been successful, and both have been funded by the Exchequer, phase one and phase two. And then what remained was a very, very large 10-acre site. And we saw it as a public site. And we were saying, come on to the City Council and to the department, don't give that away or do any deals with private developers, because that's the family silver. And we knew that there was over 100,000 people on the waiting list. We know of people stuck in the private rented system. And I'm all for disrupting the private rental market, because it really is crippling people. It really, really is. And why our project are so committed to this is the fact that people are stuck and they're losing their homes in the private rented system. Like, currently, we're working with some families because their private rental block has been refurbished. They were paying about 800 to 900 a month for the rent. Now, because it's been turned over, refurbished, their rent now has gone up to 1,800. So they're having to move, and they're having to compete in a market that's quite competitive. And the likelihood, we're dealing with two cases where they're not likely to get anywhere in the Dublin 8 area to live, which has huge knock-on effects. So that makes us extremely passionate about another model, which is the cost rental. So we lobbied from 2017 to the moment for a cost rental development. And we said to the state and we said to Dublin City Council, why not use that site and develop such a model? So I think some of our arguments fell on, you know, the government began to say, yeah, maybe we look at this and maybe it's the right time for us to happen, because Minister Owen Murphy came out in July 2018 and said, launched a proposal for the site, and we were thrilled. We were saying, great. So from July 2018, the thing has taken its own life. So Dublin City Council seem to be very committed to it, I hope, and I think and trust their general credibility on this. They appear to be very committed to it. They have only this year they have appointed a multidisciplinary architect-led design team to lead out on it. So they're currently beginning to do. They also, that design team applied a kind of a consultation group called Connect the Dots, and they're now carrying out an extensive consultation in the area to get people's views on what they would like. So that's been very positive, and they've also, Dublin City Council have opened a project office locally. So it really shows their commitment to the scheme, and we're saying, yeah, brilliant, we're all up for it. So it appears we're up there, and if you're asking me what we're concerned about is affordability, what John said. We're saying to the council, what are you doing around ensuring the scheme will be truly affordable? And they're dependent very much on the Department of Environment coming out, sort of supporting them with that aim, you know. So we were saying there's three ways you can make it affordable. The Service Sites Fund, DCC have applied to the department for 50,000 per unit. We're saying go back and get 70,000 per unit. The European Investment Bank, we know, is another means. And, you know, we're saying to them, go and look for the loan, low-cost interest loan, over 40 years rather than the 25 years that was kind of floated a year or two ago. And then we're also saying, do whatever it takes to keep the, as John said, if we don't make it affordable, it won't be successful. And we won't attract the people who are just over the income threshold for social housing. And they're the type of people that are, you know what I mean, they can't get a mortgage, but they're over the income threshold to go on the current social housing list. Then we're saying around procurement, put in safeguards and oversight to make sure that, like the children's hospital, that it doesn't get over, the cost doesn't increase throughout the thing, you know. And that's where we're at. They're talking about building in around 400 homes on the site now. That density figure is contested locally. Some people don't want that many. Yeah. But that's what they're talking about. And they're talking 70% cost rental and 30% social. So it seems as if the train is on the tracks, but the affordability is crucial to the success, in my view. And if it's the first large scale one, I think we need to get it right. I think John is right. I think we need a dedicated team leader within the department, within each of the local authorities, to say, I'm up for this. I want to make this the most successful wave, and I want to put the resources to it that'll make it work. And we want that in Inchicore. We want our pilot to be the best. That we want people to be coming to Inchicore saying, do you know what? I want that in Waterford. I want that in Kilkenny. I want that in Tipperary. I want that around in Cork. Do you know what I mean? And the other thing is key to the success is the design. A good quality design. and to try and hit on some of the key principles. People are looking for a good development, really good state-of-the-art development, decent-sized homes that you don't have to leave if your family get large. You know what I mean? If family increases. They're talking about studio apartments. We're against them because we want people to come to Inchicore, set their roots, and want to stay there. And if they want to, if they like their homes, like the area, they'll invest in the area, being an area that everybody wants to live in. That's what we want to create. The other thing is the future management, Rory. We were saying that we all have to get that right. There's a couple of views. Should it be Dublin City Council? Should it be approved housing bodies? Our fear is it could fall into a private management company. We don't want that. You know, we want the management to be people who have to get the resources and who actually have a real interest in making the development work for the people who come to live there, but for the surrounding areas. So they're some of the key things that we want.
And That's great. It's a really good overview and kind of highlights the key issues there. And I think it's something that I know John had raised was the whole question of the cost of the management and maintenance fees. And I'll come back to John on that. I know you want to come in, but I do want to take in Hugh. Hugh Brennan is here from Ocoolan Housing Alliance. But it's something I'll come back to him because I was wondering about if you got tenants, like a tenants cooperative engaged in maintenance and management, could that reduce costs? It's just an idea. Hugh Brennan, in terms of Ocoolan, you've delivered affordable housing for purchase on public land in Dublin, you know, in the region of 200,000, you know, some cheaper, and are really, you know, fundamentally challenging the idea that, you know, affordable housing is 350,000, which is, of course, is utterly ridiculous, or that you can't produce housing for, you know, on a cheap basis. Where do you see the kind of the cost rental model fitting into affordable housing? And do you think it's a good idea?
Thanks very much for the opportunity to take part in this debate. I almost, to be honest with you, and I prefer to be a listener here because I'm everything I'm hearing, and especially the passion coming like from Ailish is fantastic. Like, you know, so but I will happy to contribute. Yes, obviously, like, you know, there is a place for cost rental, and going back a couple of years, there was that bit of an argument. As Niamh highlighted, you know, the difference between cost rental and affordable rental. And I'm delighted that it is more of a hybrid now, that it is cost rental, but it has to be affordable. And I think one of the things that we do have to do is that we do have to define what we mean by affordability. And, you know, I like hearing John saying that as we go forward, that that kind of European norm of paying you know, one third of your net income on all your housing needs, not just on your rent, that will reduce over time. And that's really positive. But I do think that we need to target some amount or have some way to define what affordability is at the moment. Because I understand in Enniskerry, and Niamh can correct me here if I'm wrong, but I understand that Dunleary County Council were looking at a market rent less a certain amount, and that didn't bring it down sufficiently, and they had to revise it. And we were looking at a scheme in Ballymun with Dublin City Council and also with TUA and Circle. And this would be a big scheme for around 300 units. And the target, again, that we were given was 70% of market rent, you know. Now, in Ballymun, 70% of market rent in most cases would be affordable anyway. So we were able to work to that. But I don't see anything wrong with having targets and saying what we mean by affordability now and what we mean by affordability into the future. I don't think there's anything wrong either in looking at affordable rental in housing and not totally focusing on apartments. You know, I get the argument about density and all of that, but I do like to see a mix of housing and apartments. And we know that we can build houses more affordably than we can build apartments, especially if you're going high. You know, if you're going above 7 stories, and we looked at this in Ballymun, we were actually looking at 2 schemes in Ballymun. We're looking at one that is for cost rental, and we're looking at one that is a mix of affordable and social. And the apartments in the affordable social scheme in Ballymun, we can deliver for a lot less than we could deliver the cost rental ones, because we kept the kept it to a medium size, if you like. You know, it was 4 to 5 stories. No underground parking, no even undercroft parking, you know, just surface parking and minimal parking if you're close to transport hubs. And looking at things like that, you can certainly bring your costs down. But we could certainly deliver housing at the moment anywhere in Dublin and use that for cost rental if you want to, at a very affordable price. The long-term funding is obviously key, and I know this was mentioned by the other speakers as well. We were doing an exercise with the Irish Council for Social Housing about the financing cost rental, actually just before the minister's announcement, and we were more or less on the same page that, you know, you can get private finance. You can get private finance affordably for, say, 70% of the costs, and then have the last 30% out at the end, and let that be your state borrowing, as long as it's guaranteed you'll get the private finance in, and at a very competitive rate. So that kind of thinking, where you are looking at not, you know, that your typical 20-year or 25-year, but where you're actually going out to 40 and 50 years, that makes a huge contribution towards it. I'll leave it at that for the minute, Roy.
Hugh, just one question quickly. What's your own assessment of why, you know, we have been banging on about these models, housing, affordable housing models, for years. Why is the state so slow to embrace them and really, like, go after implementing them?
It's very hard to say. It really is very hard to say, because, you know, we see it from both sides. People come to us all the time and say, "Well, why aren't you rolling out the model further? Like, you know, why aren't we seeing more affordable housing all around the place?" We know that one of the issues is land, and there's no doubt about that. And my personal take on it is that we need to change the way we look at land. You know, I accept absolutely fully that it's an asset, but I honestly don't believe that local authorities, if they're disposing of that asset, that they need to seek market prices for that. Because I absolutely believe, and we can show it in figures, like we've done the research, we can show it, that if you accept a discounted rate for your land now, your own community will benefit over time. And by having affordable housing and by having that extra disposable income, that's key to having these communities thrive. And this is what they have found in places like Vienna and in Malmo. I talk about Malmo. Malmo was kind of forgotten. And the reason that Malmo isn't included is because Malmo is the private sector, the private developer. And I've said this before, it's an organization that's an amalgamation between Skanska, one of the biggest builders in the world, and IKEA. And their target market is a single teacher with a child. So they have to be able to deliver their basic apartment at a rate that the single teacher with a child can afford, and they're doing it. And the really interesting thing about it is it's the most profitable section in their companies. And why is that the case? That's the case because they recycle their money really, really quickly, because the market is there. There's such a demand for that going out and out and out. And if you can provide your land at an affordable rate, and if you can get the other supports that you need, I mean, you know, you spoke about Ailish, the Site Services Fund, absolutely. But I'll just give you an example. The scheme in Ballymun, for example, we weren't able, without subsidy, we weren't able to get that down to 70% of market rent, even in Ballymun, okay? So we were getting the land at €1,000 per apartment, okay, and they were waiving development levies, but still we weren't able to get the rent down to 70% of market. We were able to get it down to 80% of market. So you need some subsidy in there on top of even getting the land to be able to do that, especially if you're going high rise. If you're not going high rise, then the figures start changing again. Mm.
Yeah, no, that's great, Hugh. Thanks. John, you wanted to come in there around, and I think, it, you know, it is a big question. How do we get genuinely affordable, you know, cost rental and get it going?
Yeah, a couple of areas. One is the initial cost of construction, and then there's the long-term management and maintenance. And both are equally costly. We often focus on the initial cost, but the management and maintenance in the longer term, that costs as much. from a point of view of what's charged in the rents. And some advice maybe for Eilish there in terms of St. Michael's is, one, in terms of the initial cost, it is very important to keep that down, as Hugh was saying, that make a good quality apartment buildings and good quality housing, but keep it simple. The one thing that they are good at in some of the other countries we mentioned, they keep the building simple. They spend more money actually on the public spaces, but they, you know, they make the buildings themselves fairly simple and straightforward to build, to keep down the costs. And the other area that really needs to be looked at, and unfortunately, most of our designers, you know, we talk about a multi-business design team, they don't really understand management and maintenance and designing buildings that are low cost to maintain in the longer term, because that's going to be really important. Like on the in the Enniskerry Road one that Niamh mentioned, half the rent in the longer term is because of the management and maintenance and sinking fund, not to do with the initial cost. What is done in the likes of, we talk about the Vienna model, and maybe we shouldn't talk about it too much, but a couple of things about it. It's treated as home ownership. So people look after their own apartment. It isn't a situation where you're having, you know, the housing association coming in, doing the repairs in your apartment or your house. Is you look after them yourself. Even in the common areas, in those situations, is the community, the residents look after the common areas. They look after the external open spaces. And it's that kind of ownership, which is beneficial in terms of making it a community, actually drastically cuts down the costs. You know, so it's a totally different mindset. And that's how you kind of keep the rents down. Like again, in Vienna, like the rents, you're talking about 700 euro a month, 650 a month. That's the kind of rents they have, even in the new developments. But it is to do with the whole mindset. The one thing actually that the local authorities do pay for in every development in Vienna is they pay for a community worker. And it's a person actually. So they don't pay for a concierge. It's for someone to make sure that the community is knitting together, you know, and that you know, saying, you know, we're all looking after this development together, organizing people to integrate. So the one thing that they do is they fund a community worker effectively for every development that's cost rental in Vienna. So I think we need to look, understand what's done, you know, in some of the other countries to make them work. And does, you know, not being I'm an engineer by background, but not the denigrating kind of the designers and that they just don't understand the reality of how communities work, how you actually get a mindset in terms of how you live, to kind of, and that all helps to reduce the actual rent that you pay.
Great, John. Thanks. Niamh, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I suppose just in terms of your query about, like, you know, why has it taken so long? And I suppose, you know, key things around that really is the proof of concept piece. Like, it's really hard for people to understand something that they actually can't see. They can't see it delivering. They can't see it working. And like in Ireland, you know, we don't have that notion that people live long term in the private rental sector. The private rental sector is always seen as a stepping stone piece, either until people, you know, who are fortunate enough can buy their own home, or those who qualify for social housing move into social housing. So it's never seen as a place that people spend, you know, longer periods of their life living. Now we know the fact is that more and more people are. So, you know, clearly we need to look at transforming the private rental sector to deliver that kind of longer term, more sustainable housing option for people. And embedded in that is affordability. And it's about finding a model that works and is sustainable and is replicable. But it must work for the tenants. It must work for the families, their children, people who want to live there in the longer term. It must be places that people want to live in and spend their lives there, where they feel part of a community and supported as being part of their community. So, like, there's key aspects in relation to that. So I think, you know, I really do think that we are at this point where there is a real game changer in terms of this commitment as part of Budget 2021. I'm really excited to see what happens next year in terms of actually delivering some affordable cost rental homes, and people will see it happening. People will see it working for people. And then also in terms of looking at like debt servicing, it also makes it more attractive for, you know, private finance as well, in terms of, you know, supporting building homes of this nature, again, because people will see the delivery of it, you know. So like, there's a couple of elements that we need to try and, you know, make work in terms of this. So it's the provision of sites, it's the cost of construction, it's debt servicing, it's management and maintenance, and it's rents. And it's how we make that all work. And as I say, working primarily for the people who are going to live in these homes, these families, these children, as part of these communities, but it also needs to work for the providers, be they approved housing bodies or local authorities as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a point very well made in terms of, you know, getting that pilot, that, as you say, that model rolling out. And I do think there is a whole cultural challenge and a cultural, there's a reality though, that, you know, there's this idea that everybody wants to be a homeowner, but so many people are actually, that's not a possibility now. Do you know what I mean? In terms of accessing loans, precarious work. And that as well.
It's not a possibility, but also we see much more, you know, labor mobility and people, you know, moving between jobs and people moving between locations. And certainly having residential mobility needs to be more part of that. So like, you know, it's less an idea in terms of people having jobs for life, and also possibly less an idea that people live in the one home for life, that we have just, you know, much more options for people. But within that is about the security of tenure people and ensuring that people then can then stay there for that longer term period and afford to stay there for that longer term period as well.
Yeah, Eilish, you want to come in?
No, I was just thinking that in terms of, I think we need to, like, wear my Housing Action Now hat. We were advocating that the government over 5 years should build 70,000 homes. And this is followed from the research that NERI has done.
Yeah.
So we trust them and think they're a very reputable group. And they were sort of saying that would cost $14 billion over 5 years, and that $3.5 billion upfront state investment, and that they borrow the rest $10.5 billion in low cost, you know, loans. So I mean, because we are in a crisis, and I think COVID has thrown up an awful lot more situation where people have lost their jobs, their income has been greatly reduced. I think now is the time. I think now is the time to really look at this. Now, I don't think cost rental is the only answer to the housing crisis. I think we should still continue to invest in social housing. I think affordable purchase should also. I got my home under affordable purchase 10, 12 years ago, and I'm a beneficiary. I would have never been able to get on the property market without the opportunity of affordable purchase. So I think looking at those three strands, I think that, you know, seriously looking, moving into the future. And I think cost rental has a huge role to play. And I really do think we do need strong, serious leadership at government level to roll this out. And I know that the minister was talking about a national, you know, rolling out news about the national policy before the end of the year. I think really we need to, there's an urgency on this, you know, because we're paying a huge amount of money into the private sector. And some of that money, do you know, I mean, I know people on Homeless HAP are getting supports for 1,800 a month to pay their rent. That's going into the private sector. It's going, do you know what I mean? It's going nowhere. Those people are still left in a very precarious situation. There has to be a mind shift, in my view, towards a model like this.
Yeah, it is going somewhere. It's paying the mortgage as an investment asset for the private landlords.
Absolutely.
That's where it's going.
Niamh,
you want to come in?
It's crazy, yeah.
But yeah, just in terms of Eilish's point, I just think you're spot on in relation to that. This is only one option. And like what we need to be looking is having, you know, a number of options in the housing market for people. Like not just, you know, these, you know, you can only buy, you can only rent, or you only have social housing, that we actually have those options for people. And absolutely, we need to keep our focus very clearly on the delivery of social housing, you know. And, you know, like that's a key part for, you know, the foreseeable future as well. So this is only part of it, but it is a really important part of it. And also it does provide that opportunity to transform our tenure type in Ireland, so that we actually have this alternative option for people, that they actually can consider this in the longer term while we continue to build homes for people to purchase if that's what they so wish to do, but also providing social housing as well.
John O'Connor, thanks, Niamh. I think you're, you know, and I'll come back to, I actually want to ask you, it brings me up something around the whole question, the notion of home and community, and how do you build that with both rental? Can this be built as well with affordable rental? And you can come back on that as well. But John O'Connor, I'm aware, I know you have to go. Just maybe you could outline, like, what are the key things that need to be done now across the board to deliver this model? By government, by the Department of Housing, the, you know, the local authorities, like, what do we need to do to really get to that 5,000 cost rental units per year within a very short space of time?
I think first, the first step in terms of the cost rental that is being delivered in step aside, that initial funding that is being provided for the approved housing bodies, the housing associations, to deliver cost rental next year. And I think that approach, where long-term finance coupled with a secondary loan, is the most appropriate and quickest way to start delivering that on scale. And then with, you know, Dublin City Council pushing St. Michael's to get that moving, you know, as quickly as possible. But I think that getting that long-term funding in place could be very significant. And in relation to building on public land and delivering larger scale developments, the combination of social housing with cost rental housing, with affordable purchase housing, that gives an opportunity for, you know, the housing associations and others to be able to deliver on a big scale. So I think actually the cost rental could actually help the delivery of social housing in a big way, and both can work together and with other forms of housing to deliver on a big scale. But it's about, let's make this funding approach work and then push to get more funding for it. And I think if we get organizations to committed to it, local authorities and the housing associations, I think it will work.
Great. Thanks, John. Thanks for joining us. Thank you. Thanks, John. Hugh Brennan, just in terms of that idea of community and, you know, how do we build communities? And it was something that Niamh was talking about there as well, is the whole idea of, you know, there's this idea that, you know, it's only through home ownership, you know, and of course, it's a completely, you know, it's a biased view, and it's a very, you know, almost a discriminatory view. It is a discriminatory view as well, in the sense that only true home ownership is like, it's the ideal tenure, the ideal way of living. When, of course, we know people are living in social housing, absolutely in a secure way with quality homes, and want to live there. Generations want to live there, and, you know, and worked with many communities who, you know, they were very happy there and proud of their communities and proud of their housing, that there's no reason why affordable rental couldn't be something that is as secure as home ownership. That the problem is that we have, as Niamh said, this private rental sector, which is utterly insecure. You have no control over your home. You can't even bloody put a painting on the wall. Whereas if we delivered, you know, as John mentioned, there are affordable rental homes where people could, you know, put in their own furniture, decide what they want to do with their house, and maybe get something back out of that in terms of equity as well, and, you know, contributing into the housing development as well. That we should reimagine, you know, and obviously we don't have to reimagine because it's done in Vienna, it's done in those other countries. What is it, you know, to be a renter doesn't have to mean you're a second or third class citizen.
No, not at all. In fact, it's the very opposite. Rory, it actually has to happen. I mean, we have to just completely get away from this notion where you don't have security of tenure. Like, if I go out and I want to rent a place in the morning, I should know that I have that for life if I want it for life. It's changing the rights, if you like. It's taking the rights away from property owners, and this strange notion that we have that if we interfere with property rights, that it's unconstitutional. You know, it's not, at least I believe it's not. We have to change that around completely, and you have to give people that security of tenure for life if you want. And you talk about building community. This is absolutely much more Ailish's space now than it is mine. But, you know, part of our remit, if you like, is we say we're building communities and not just houses. And part of that is trying to get to know the people before they move in. And if you can do that, if you can identify people before they move in, and I would love to be able to do this with the people who are being allocated social housing as well, because what tends to happen is that we'll know who the members are who are buying, and we can even know who the people who are renting if they feel that they'll have a longer tenure. But it's difficult getting the allocations early for social housing. And if you can get people there in advance and prepare this common charter like we're doing, makes a huge difference because people know each other already. It's great for resolving, little disputes as you go along, and it keeps people involved. It keeps people interested. One of the big things I find is people taking ownership of the estate, whether they own or whether they rent. If they decide again that it's their home and that they're there for a long time, they will take ownership of it. And if the local authority aren't taking the areas in charge, like we'll be working on a scheme very shortly where the local authorities will just take the roads in charge and everything else will be done by the local community through their owner management company. And yeah. and everybody will become a director or a member, if you like, of that owner management company. And that should be the same whether you're a social renter or a private renter or an owner. And I don't think it's a big step, Rory, to be able just to change that bit of thinking, to be able to do that and to focus on community and to focus on, as you were saying earlier, somebody was saying, the community spaces, the community facilities as well. You know, I mean, let's look at investing in those things at an early stage as well. I'd love to see some of that money that's going to have been diverted into this kind of thing. And that's all it is. It's just a mindset that we can say over the next 5 years, we're going to cut down completely or almost completely everything we're paying on HAP. And we're going to divert it to this kind of building communities of cost rental and social rental and affordable purchase. And this is what we talk about. We talk about fully integrated communities. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about mixed income, mixed tenure, mixed ability, mixed age. And that's what I would be aiming for. And I honestly don't think that it is that difficult once you get your mind around it. And if you think that way, then what you're doing is you're actually looking for land to say, wow, okay, we have a piece of land there. You know, we can do this on it. And you'll invest in that. And you'll invest in the community. And you will make a better financial return over time from that community than ever you got for charging a fortune for that piece of land in the first place and crippling people with mortgages and rent because you're doing that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a lot of kind of undiscussed economic arguments in favor of, do you know what I mean, the affordable housing development that it returns the money back into the economy. Because when you think about it, so much of people's rent is literally going into investors' pockets or landlords who are already wealthy that isn't actually productive. You know, it's a huge loss and it causes poverty. Thank you so much, Hugh, for that. Last word then to Niamh and Eilish. Niamh, in terms of just responding, and that whole question of, you know, the role of associations, housing associations and their capacity, that there really is a need, isn't there, for local authorities to be resourced to really lead out in this and housing associations and the likes of Ocúlán cooperatives, that there's really a need for resourcing across the board, the not-for-profit sector to like actually really deliver this, that it does have the capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things, and I'd echo what you were saying there in terms of, like, at the heart of government policy, we have this idea of mixed tenure integrated communities. And this is actually a tool to facilitate us to deliver this, but not only mixed tenure, mixed income communities. And we should be, you know, we should have these diverse, vibrant communities, people coming from all walks of life, all ages, all income types, whatever, all living side by side, and much more integration. And you know, I think it's something that we certainly would aspire towards, you know. And I think key to that is ensuring that there's different strands, different players who can actually contribute to this part of the process. So key to this is absolutely local authorities who are, you know, working in terms of delivering social homes. Now, there is also the commitment in terms of Budget 2021 in relation to their role around delivering affordable homes as well. So I suppose it'll be interesting to see how that particular piece is rolled out. But certainly there isn't just one solution. We're very happy to do our part, our small part, as one of the approved housing bodies. And we know colleagues across the sector are really interested in doing this. But also, how can we continue to contribute to delivering communities where people want to live, where people want to spend their lives, and also addressing the very clear need that is out there. You know, Hugh mentioned HAP, and absolutely there's a huge amount spent each and every year on HAP. And the reason for that is because we know that there's a huge amount of unmet social housing need. within people who are living in the private rental sector. So the challenge that we have is getting the scale in terms of social housing, but also affordable rental homes that we can actually then stop spending so much in terms of HAP. But until we do so, we're going to have the two things operating in parallel, because, you know, people need to be supported to keep the roof over their head. And HAP is doing that. And it is doing that in terms of ensuring that people can remain in their homes. So I think the challenge that we have really is kind of the scale and ensuring the scale of delivery in relation to do this. But look, you know, we're really committed to this. We really want to see this as being a key part of housing tenure in Ireland into the future.
Great. Thanks, Niamh. Eilidh Comerford, last word to you then. Where, in terms of this, what needs to be done? And particularly, I suppose, from a community worker and community perspective, you know, how important do you see this, you know, in terms of building communities?
Well, housing is one of the biggest issues that people are coming through the doors. And like, there's a lot of mental health issues in relation to because of housing or lack of the right type of housing. A lot of people live in insecure private rental. And as I told a story earlier, we're dealing with two cases where people, because the rent went up, doubled because under the refurbishment pillar, yeah, people are going to be priced out of their homes. And the stress levels that's bringing to those families. So I think we need to seriously look at this as a model. I think we need a new housing company of Ireland set up to oversee the 70,000 homes that could possibly be delivered if we really, really take this seriously. I like the idea that maybe as part of the management thing, you could have community workers, their role to work in these new communities around building, bringing people together. You know what I mean? I know in an ideal world, you'd like to meet the new people that are coming into these new developments and begin to do work with those, to gel them together, yeah, to do work with those people to help them form a cohesive community. I think my fear sometimes with what happens on the management is that people don't get the resources to do some of that stuff. Mm. I think resources need to be put into staying with new communities to help them gel together, to get to know each other. I think that's as important as the design issues at the start. So I think if we think long term, if we do put the resources in, we'll get the return, in my view, in the long term.
Great. Thanks a million. Eilidh Comerford from St. Michael's and from Housing Action Now, Niamh Randall from Respond, and Hugh Brennan O'Coolan, Co-Housing Alliance. And we had earlier John O'Connor from the Housing Agency. Thanks a million for joining me today on Reboot Republic. And it was, you know, really fascinating. And hopefully we'll help push out this model and get this housing crisis sorted. But I do think there's a lot of energy going to be needed to be put into this. And I think there is a little question of whether the actual institutional government will is really there to push this out in scale. So hopefully this will add to the pressure and lots of ideas as well in terms of how we roll it out practically. And as always, please become a patron, support Reboot Republic to keep going producing these podcasts. Go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Become a patron, support us to keep producing these podcasts that are putting out the ideas for how we can achieve a republic of equality. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.